B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Yudalid. We're going to start from the next Mishnah, 12 lines from the top of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Kol Shivas Hayomim, all the 7 days. We'll remember the previous Mishnah told us at the beginning of the Perek on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the Shivas Yomim Koidim Yom Kippurim, the 7 days before Yom Kippur, Mafrishin Koin Godel Mebeisei Lelishkas Parhedrin, the Koin Godel would be closed in the Lishkas HaParhedrin. What would he do for those 7 days? So the Mishnah here is telling us that obviously wasn't locked there all the time. That's where that would be his dwelling place. During the day, he would be in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash proper, so to speak. He would be doing some of the Avodos. In order to get him used to doing the Avodah that he would have to do very meticulously on Yom Kippur, there were certain parts of the Avodah that he was encouraged and required to do for the week before. Kol Shivas Hayomim Hu Zoyer Kesadam. He was the one to throw the blood of the Korban Tomid onto the Mizbeach. Umaktir Es Akteres, he would burn the Akteres, the incense. Umeitiv Es Haneiros, and he would prepare the menorah, the candles of the menorah, the flames of the menorah. Umakriv Es Haroish Ves Haregel, and he would be the one to put the head and the regel, the feet of the Korban Tomid onto the Mizbeach, because as we'll see in Maseches Tomid, they would cut the Korban Tomid into many pieces in order that a whole escort of Kohanim would take it till the ramp of the Mizbeach and then from the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach. But the Hakrova of the Rosh and the Regel, that was given to the Kohen Gadol to do for that week. V'shar kol hayomim, all the other days in the year, im rotzo lehakriv makriv, then the Kohen Gadol can choose whenever he wants to do the Hakrova, he's allowed to. Shekohen Gadol makriv chelik barosh, he's the one that's allowed to choose to be makriv, to put onto the mizbeach whichever parts he wants, he gets the first choice. V'noitel chelik barosh, and the parts of the animals which the kohanim are allowed to eat, he gets the first choice. He can choose the nicest piece, the most tasty piece, whatever it may be. He has the first choice of the parts of the korban that would be eaten by the kohanim. Says the Gemara, Mantana, who is the author of our Mishnah? And what's the discussion here? Says the Gemara, let's see the Gemara. Omer of Chizda, Deloike Reb Akiva. It's certainly not like Reb Akiva. Dei Reb Akiva ha'omar tohir shenoflo lov hazo. Reb Akiva holds that a tohir person who was sprinkled upon by the water with the ashes of the Parah Aduma becomes Tomei, Heicha Ovid Avoida. That means the Gemara's question was, the very fact that our Mishnah tells us that the Kohen Gadol would partake in some of the Avoida means that he was obviously Tohir enough to be able to do that. But according to Reb Akiva, it would seem, according to Reb Akiva, since we learned in the previous Mishnah that every day they would sprinkle on him, either every day, that we discussed exactly if it was every day or just day 3 and day 7, but they would sprinkle on the Kohen Gadol from the ashes of the Parah Aduma. And according to the Tan in the Mishnah, they would do that every day. According to Rabbi Akiva, if a Tohir person, which this Kohen Gadol was Tohir, they get sprinkled upon by the ashes of the Parah Aduma, he's actually Tomei. How can he do the Avodah? Tohir Shenoflelov Hazor, Tomase, Heich Ovid Avodah. How can he do the Avodah? The Tanya, where did we learn about this in a braisa? We learned in a braisa as follows. The pasuk says, "Vehizo hatohir al hatomei." The tohir person will sprinkle on the tomei person. Bayim ashlishi, bayim ashvi, on day 3, on day 7, etc. Al hatomei tohir. So what do we deduce? This is Reb Akiva talking. What does Reb Akiva say? V'hizo hatohir al hatomei. Only because it's being sprinkled on somebody who is tomei, then he becomes tohir. Al hatomei toir, and we deduce from there, Rabbi Akiva deduces from there, v'al hatoir, however, if you sprinkle from the Parah Aduma on a toir person, tomei, it's actually going to make him tomei. Divri Rabbi Akiva, that was the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, v'chachomim oimrim, they argue, the chachomim say that ein hadvorim halolu amurim, that means so Rashi says, what does it mean, dvorim halolu? This that it says that al hatomei is coming to teach us that the whole concept of sprinkling, she'ein divrei hazor amurim elo b'dvorim amekablim tuma, aval b'dvorim she'ein mekablim tuma ein hazor nitezes Aleim Kruya Hazoya. He says the whole concept of sprinkling from the water and ashes of the Parah Aduma is only considered an act of sprinkling of Hazoah if it's done on somebody who is Tomei, namely somebody who can become Tomei, somebody who's Ro'i Lekabel Toma. However, if you sprinkle on an animal, as we'll soon see, if you sprinkle from these waters onto an animal, and an animal whilst alive is not Ro'i Lekabel Toma, then that's not considered an act of sprinkling. What will it be? It's considered as using it. You've just used it. And there's halachic ramifications of the ashes of Parah Aduma that have been used for something other than sprinkling, other than doing hazor. That the halacha is, if you use this water for anything else, you can no longer use that part of the water as Parah Aduma water to make somebody toyer. Elas, according to the Chachomim, when it says v'hiza toyer al hatomei, it means that it's only called hazor if you're sprinkling on something which is a ro'i lekabel tumah. Let's hear about this. We learned in a Mishnah. If you intended sprinkling from the ashes and water of the Parah Aduma onto an animal, and it turned out that you didn't sprinkle it on the animal, you sprinkled it on a person. If there's enough left over ashes and water, if there's enough water left over on the Ezov plant that you could still sprinkle from it onto a person, Yeshane, you're allowed to now, you can sprinkle again, you can use whatever's left on it to sprinkle on a different person who needs to be sprinkled on. Because the fact that you sprinkled it on a person before was okay. That did not make it that it's not considered as if you used the water for something other than sprinkling. If you intended to sprinkle on a person, and in actual fact you sprinkled on an animal, then even if there's enough remaining water on the plant, the ezov plant, which you dipped into the water to sprinkle, even if there's enough left on it that you could sprinkle on a person, lo yeshane, you should not use this water. This water has become posel because you've already used it to sprinkle on an animal. An animal, whilst alive, is not able to become tomei, and therefore it's not considered hazar. That's what the Chachomim learned from this pasuk. If it's not considered hazar, it's considered as if mayim shenasis ben melocha. It's water of the Parah Aduma that you did something else with, and then it becomes posel to be used to make anybody tohir. So that is what the Chachomim learned from this pasuk. Says the Gemara, "My Talmud, Reb Akiva. Why did Reb Akiva choose to learn from this pasuk that if you sprinkle onto a Torah person, that Torah person will become Tommy?" Says the Gemara, "Nichto Ivrachmona, because the pasuk could have just said v'hizo hatoyer olov. Why does it have to say v'hizo hatoyer al hatomei b'yem hashlishi? Why doesn't it just say v'hizo hatoyer olov, that the Torah person will sprinkle from the water onto him? Why does it have to say onto the Tomei person? My al hatomei, why does it say the extra two words al hatomei? Shema Mino, says Rabbi Akiva, to teach us al hatomei tohir, because only if you sprinkle on a Tomei person, that's when the Tomei person will become tohir. Val hatoyer, however, if you sprinkle on a tohir person, Tomei will become Tomei. Now, what do the Rabbonon do with that? So the Rabbonon, hai ledvorim hamekablim tumah hudasa. As we saw before, the Chachomim say that the extra two words ala tomei are not telling us that the person has to be tomei. It has to be a type of being that could become tomei to the exclusion of an animal. Aval hacha, but regarding your halacha, Reb Akiva, that you sprinkle, that when you sprinkle onto a toyer person, it actually makes him tomei. Kal v'chomer, who the Chachomim say, I don't understand, it's a kal v'chomer that he's actually not going to become tomei. Im ala tomei toyer, if sprinkling this water on a Tommy person makes the Tommy person toyer, ala toyer le kolchkin, of course if you sprinkle on a toyer person, it will not make him Tommy. So they don't even agree with Rabbi Akiva's idea. Had they agreed with that idea, then we can contemplate what we're using these two words for. The Chachamim say, you know why we chose to learn something else from this pasuk? Because we have a kal v'chomer that tells us not to learn like Rabbi Akiva is learning. Rabbi Akiva says, you're 100% right, it makes no sense. And that's exactly it. Hainu dekoma shleima, we know that Parah Aduma doesn't make sense. Even Shleima Melech said, Omarti echkomo, I thought that I will be wise and discover the understandings of the halachas of Parah Aduma, v'irachayka mimeni, it became clear to me that it was far from my perception. I couldn't understand it. And this is exactly what Shlomo HaMelech didn't understand. That how can you sprinkle on a tummy person, it makes him tohir, and you sprinkle on a tohir person, it makes him tummy. That is the difficulty of Parah Aduma. The Rabbanon say no. The Rabbanon say, we still think that there's a kal v'chomer, and it cannot be that when you sprinkle on a tohir person, he becomes tummy. And what do we learn from these two words, ala tummy, that it's only considered a hazar if you sprinkle on something that's roi lekabel tuma? Rabbonon, you're going to ask me a question now. So what was it that Shlomo HaMelech didn't understand according to us, Rabbonon? I'll tell you what. Hahu, that pasuk by Shlomo HaMelech is telling us, it was that Shlomo HaMelech had difficulty understanding, how can it be that lemazeh, the person who is sprinkling, ulemezin olov, and the person who is being sprinkled on, is tohir, v'noigea bohen tomi. However, if you touch the waters of the Parah Aduma, touching it can make you tummy. And this is a pasuk. What does it say in the pasuk? The pasuk says, "V'hoyisol lohem l'chukas oilam umazei meinido." The one who sprinkles will soon see how to understand this. But the one who sprinkles meha nido from these waters of the chatos of the, it's called the chatos of the Parah Aduma, yichabes begodov. Not only is he tummy, but even the clothes he was wearing also have to be toiveled, have to be cleaned. V'hanegea, but somebody who touches the waters of the Parah Aduma b'mei nido, yitmad orif, he's tomei until the evening. Not his clothes, but he's tomei, has to go to the mikveh, and he's tomei until the evening. So you see clearly that touching the mei nido makes a person tomei. Nothing to do with if you sprinkle. You sprinkle on him, if a toher person sprinkles on anybody, toher or tomei, it will make him toher, it will certainly not make him tomei. If you touch the waters, then the pasuk says explicitly, become tomei. So that's what the Rabbanon say, that is what Shlomo HaMelech had difficulty understanding, and that remained a difficulty. And now the Gemara, we have to understand what the Chachomim just said now. They said that lemaze ulemazin toher, negea is tomei. And that's that was the contradiction. That was something Shlomo HaMelech didn't understand. We have to understand, what does it mean what the Chachomim said, that lemazeh, the one who's sprinkling, stays tohir? Well, that's what they said. But we just read in the pasuk. The pasuk says, umazeh me'ah nidah yichabes begodov. So there is always the option to understand that the pasuk is saying, umazeh me'ah nidah yichabes begodov, who is considered the mazeh? It doesn't mean a regular mazeh. It means hanugia. It means the person that touched. We have to see if that works. Let's see the Gemara inside. Umaze tohir? Can Rabbanon really hold that somebody who sprinkles the Parah Aduma remains tohir? V'oksiv, it seems to be against an explicit pasuk we just read. Umaze me'a nido yechabes begodov. That anybody, the person who's sprinkling the Parah Aduma waters actually has to even clean his clothes. Has to tohir, his clothes need to be made tohir. Says the Gemara, you're right. But the truth is, as the Chachomim said, the one who sprinkles the Parah Aduma remains tohir. When the Pasuk says mazeh, it doesn't mean the one who sprinkled. Umay mazeh, what does the Pasuk mean that the mazeh is tomei? Who's the mazeh? Negeh. It means the negeh, which is mentioned a line later, a few words later in the Pasuk. Umazeh me'anido yechabis begadov. Who's that? Who's the mazeh? Referring to a type, it's referring only to the negeh. Says the Gemara, that doesn't make sense either. V'oksiv mazeh, v'oksiv negeh. The pasuk explicitly seems to say that mazeh on his own and negeh on his own. The pasuk says, "Umazeh me'anido yechabis begodov, v'negeh b'me'anido yitmad orev." V'oid, are you going to suggest that the negeh is the mazeh and the pasuk's explaining itself? That doesn't make sense either because the halachas are different. V'oid, mazeh, when the pasuk speaks about the mazeh, boya kibbutz begodim, even needs to be metaher his clothes. Negea loy boya kibbutz begodim. However, regarding negea, regarding touching, he doesn't need to be mechabes begodov. His clothes are okay. It's just yitmad orev. He is tomei. So it cannot be that mazeh is negea. And the Chachomim say that mazeh doesn't mean the one who sprinkles, because they said explicitly, lemazeh velemazin olov tohir. So what does mazeh mean in the pasuk? Elomai mazeh noisa. It means not the one who sprinkles, the one who carries. Anybody who carries the waters of the Parah Aduma becomes is tomei. Yichabis begodov. says the Gemara of Nichtev Rachmana Naisa. If the Torah means to say that anyone who carries from the water of the Paraduma is Tomei and is Yichabis Begadov, say that. Say, V'anoisa me'anida. Why do you say Hamaze me'anida? No. Says the Gemara, because the Pasuk wants to impress on us another halacha. My tamik siv maze. Why does it say maze? Hokomashmanon, to teach us the bo'inon shi'ur hazah, that if you carry just a tiny amount of the parah adumah's water, you're not going to become tomei. Who's going to become tomei? When you carry enough, that there's enough water to be carried that you could have used that a measure of water to sprinkle on somebody. Says the Gemara, according to the opinion that says, and this is a Gemara in Zvachim Daf Peis Machlekes, according to the opinion that says that there's a certain minimum measure that you need to sprinkle on somebody, I can understand. The Pasuk says, umaze, meaning carrying a measure that could be sprinkled with, because you need the minimum measure. But according to the opinion who says that there's no minimum measure of water that needs to reach this tommy person, Maikalamema, how are you going to explain this? Why does the Pasuk refer to the person carrying the water as maze, as something to do with the sprinkling? Says the Gemara, Afilu lemandam omazo ein tzrichoshil. Even according to the opinion who says that hazar, the sprinkling itself, there is no minimum shiur, which means hanamila agabo de gavro, there's no minimum amount of water that has to actually reach the body of the person who's being sprinkled upon. Aval b'mono. However, in order for the sprinkling to be valid, it has to be that you've dipped in this plant and however the procedure went, but you took water from a dish that contained a minimum measure of water. Aval b'mono, however, in the utensil that from which you took this water, tzricha shiur, it does need a minimum amount of shiur, and if you don't take from a utensil that held a minimum shiur, even though you hold that there's no minimum shiur that has to reach the person, it's invalid. Ditnan, we learnt in the Mishnah, kamo yehei bohen v'yehei kedei hazar, how much does there have to be in the utensil in order that the hazar is considered valid, kedei sheyitzbo'el, in order you should be able to dip into the water, roshei giv'oilin, the heads of the stems, v'yaze, and be able to sprinkle with it. How much actually reaches the person, that doesn't matter. But it has to be enough that you could dip in, that the heads of the stems could be dipped into the water. So what the Gemara is saying is that this is the amount, this shiur, that everybody agrees you need a minimum measure of water in the utensil from which you sprinkle, that's the minimum measure. Everybody agrees that's the minimum measure when it comes to carrying. That when the Pasuk says that umaze me'anido yechabes begodov, which the Gemara says it means that you are carrying the me'anido, how much you're carrying, the amount that you need, the minimum measure that you could have done hazar from that, and everybody agrees that there is a minimum measure that has to be in the utensil. Continues the Gemara, Abaye Omar. Abaye is now coming and arguing with Rav Chisda. How did we start the Gemara? Right at the beginning of the Gemara, that the Mishnah said that the Kohen Gadol does the Avodah. We had a question that if you sprinkle on him every day from the Parah Adumah, according to Rav Akiva, the person who gets sprinkled upon, it becomes Tomei. He learns it from the Pasuk of V'hizo Atoyer Ala Tomei. So how can you say the Kohen Gadol can do the Avodah? So Rav Chisda maintained that it must be that the Mishnah is not Rav Akiva. And Abaye is arguing on Rav Chisda. Abaye Omar afilu teimer Rav Akiva. It could even be Rav Akiva. Da'ovid Avodah kula yoyim. It could be that the Kohen Gadol did the Avodah the whole day. Ulepanyo, and in the evening when he'd finished the Avodah, madu aleo, they would sprinkle up on him. V'tovil, and he would tovil and go to the mikveh. Before the end of the day, va'ovid hair of shemesh, and then it would become shkia, it would become hair of shemesh, and he would be torah the next day to do the avodah. So you could even hold of Rabbi Akiva that says that if you're sprinkled upon your tummy, and you can hold that the Kohen Gadol was sprinkled upon every day, and you can hold that the Kohen Gadol these 7 days could do the avodah. We found an easy solution, says Abaya, when you sprinkled on him at the end of the day. So there's no reason to say that our Mishnah cannot follow Rabbi Akiva. Continues the Gemara. What did we see in our Mishnah? Besides for the Kohen Gadol sprinkling, throwing the blood of the korban tamid on the mizbeach every day. What does it say next? Umaktir es haktoires. He burns the incense, the ketores. Umeitiv es haneiros. He prepares the menorah to be able to be lit. What does that mean? Let's assume, and this is, it seems, what Rashi learns, that you take out the wicks and the leftovers of the day before, and you put new oil and wicks into the menorah, preparing it to be lit. So what does it say first? First, the Mishnah says that the ketores, and only then it says hatovas haneiros. That is meitiv the neiros. Says the Gemara, "Umaktir es haktoires, umeitiv es haneiros." Alma, what do we see from the sequence of our Mishnah? Alma, ketores bereisha. First, you do the ketores, v'hado neiros, and only afterwards you do atovas haneiros. Uraminu, this seems to be a contradiction from a Mishnah in Tomid Daf Lamed Omid Beis. What does it say in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, "Mishe zocha." They would cast. It wouldn't be lots. They would make a pious and Misha Zocha Badishon Mizbeach HaPnimi. They would determine who was the one that would merit to clean the ashes off the Mizbeach, of the inside Mizbeach, where they would put the Ketores. Misha Zocha Badishon Mizbeach HaPnimi, Misha Zocha B'Menoira, Misha Zocha, and then who was Zocha to clean the Menoira, Misha Zocha B'Ketores, and who was Zocha to do the Ketores. So what do we see from here? That first, menorah there means the dishun ha-menorah, it means hatovas ha-neiris, was done first, and only afterwards, misha zocha b'kteiris. Only afterwards the k'teiris is mentioned. So the Mishnah in Tomid seems to learn that the dishun ha-menorah, the hatovas ha-neiris, is done before the k'teiris. And in our Mishnah, it seems that the Keteres is mentioned before that Tovas Haneiros. There seems to be a contradiction. So we're going to have two explanations, Rav Huna and Rav Yechanan. Omer Rav Huna says, Man Tana Tomid, that the opinion of Maseches Tomid is Rav Shimon Ish HaMatzbehu. There was somebody called Rav Shimon Ish HaMitzbeh, and we don't know exactly what he holds, but we know that he had an opinion about the way, the order that the Avodah was done. So it could well be that since we know he had his opinion, and we know that the Chachomim argued with him in some areas, so we just assume that the Mishnayos in Tomid are following Rav Shimon Ish HaMitzbeh, and our Mishnah here is the Chachomim, and indeed it's Machlekes Tanoim. Says the Gemara, V'ho Ibcha Shaminon Le. But it seems to be, in Maseches Tomid itself, I seem to have explicit proof that the Mishnayos and Maseches Tomid are not following Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzbeh. Ditnan, we learned in Maseches Tomid, Boloi Lekeren Mizrochis Tzfoinis, that the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen, whoever sprinkling the blood of the Korban Tomid, he would come to the corner Mizrach Tzofin. Noisen, he would throw the blood Mizrocho Tzfoino. He would throw it onto the corner, and it would be a single casting, and it would go on both sides, like a type of a gum, an L-shaped. The blood would reach the Mizrach wall and the Tzofin wall. Maravis Doremis, he would then continue walking round anti-clockwise to the corner Mairiv Dorim, Nosen Marav Dorema, and he would sprinkle the blood on a single throw of the blood onto the Mizbeach, and the blood would reach the Dorim and the Mairiv. That's the Mishnah in Tomid. V'tonya lo, there was a braisa on that Mishnah that says Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzbeh Meshane B'Tomid. He, when he learnt this sequence, this halacha of the Korban Tomid, what did he say? He says, I agree with you regarding the first corner. Mizrachis Tzvoinis, when you reach the corner of Mizrach Tzofoin, Noisen Mizrach Tzvoinis. You should throw the blood with a single thrust onto the corner, making sure the blood reaches also the Mizrach wall, also the Tzofoin wall. Marovis Dremis, but when you reach the Mairiv Dorim wall, the diagonally opposite corner of Mairiv Dorim, then Noisin Marova, you should throw some blood first on the Mairiv wall, Vacharkach Noisin Dorima, and then you should separately throw the blood onto the Dorim wall. So you see clearly that it's Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzbeh in the Braisa who argues with the Mishnah in Tomid. So how can you say that when you have a contradiction between the Mishnah in Yuma that says first is Ketores and then Hatovas Haneiros, and the Mishnah in Tomid that says first Hatovas Haneiros then Ketores, you're saying that the Mishnah in Yuma is the Chachomim and the Mishnah in Tomid is Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzbeh? We see clearly that the anonymous Mishnayos in Tomid do not follow Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzbeh's opinion. Elam Rabbi Yechonon argues with Rav Huna and says, Man Tana say the Yuma will do the reverse. We'll say that our Mishnayos and Maseches Yuma are Pshimon Ish HaMitzbehu, and the Mishnayos in Maseches Tomid, they will be the Chachomim who argue the Pshimon Ish HaMitzbeh, and then everything is understood. And a very similar thing, the Gemara is now going to say, a similar idea where we have a stira in Mishnayos, and we just make, we arrange the Mishnayos, assuming that it's two different opinions, even though they don't say so explicitly, we find with a stira in Maseches Yuma itself. V'romi Seyda Yuma, Aseyda Yuma. There's actually a contradiction within Maseches Yuma. Ditnan, because what did we learn in our Mishnah? In our Mishnah we learned that you first do the Keteres, and then you do that Tovas HaNeiris. But there's actually another two Mishnayos in Maseches Yuma, later on, one in Daf Chofei Omad Aleph, one in Daf Lamed Aleph Omad Beis, and there we get a very different picture. Ditnan, we learnt in a Mishnah on Daf Chofei Omad Aleph, Pious Sheni, the second Pious, it's a type of casting lots, which we'll learn about later on. What did they do, the second Pious? They would determine Mi Sheichet, who's going to Shech the Korban Tomid, Mi Zoyrek, who is going to throw the blood on the Mizbeach. Mi medashe in Mizbeach apnimi, who is going to clear away the ashes of the inside Mizbeach. Umi medashe in es hamenoira, who's going to do that tovas haneiris. Umi male vorim lekevesh, and who's going to take the limbs of the Korban Tomid to the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach. Pious Ashlishi, the next pious that they would do is Chadoshim, the people who have never done Keteres before. L'Keteres, they would come and there would be a Goyrol who's going to merit doing the Keteres. Bovi, Fisu, come, whoever hasn't yet done Keteres, come, we'll make a lottery, we'll see who's going to do it today. So what do we see from here? Then our Mishnah, it says, as we saw before, first Keteres and then Hatovas HaNeiris. And the Mishnah in Daf Chofei says explicitly that first they would do the Hatovas HaNeiris and only afterwards they would do the Keteres. Hatovas HaNeiris was determined in the second Pious and the Keteres in the third Pious. So there seems to be a contradiction within the Mishnayos in Yuma. So we're going to have two answers, Abaya and Rav Papa. Omar Abaya says, Loi Kashi is not a contradiction. Kan batovas shtei neiris, kan batovas chomesh neiris. Because there's actually going to be a machlekas, which we'll soon see, between Abba Shaul and the Chachomim. The Abba Shaul holds that they would only do the Keteres after they've done the hatova, the cleaning and preparing of all seven neiris, of all seven lamps of the menorah. That's Abba Shaul. Now, even everybody agrees, even Abba Shaul and the Chachomim, obviously, they say that there was a break between doing the Hatova, between preparing five of the Neiros and the other two. The question is, what did they do in that break? According to Abba Shaul, they would do the Korban Tomid then. They would shech the Korban Tomid, and this is all in the morning. They would shech the Korban Tomid, they would sprinkle the blood, and then they would continue and do the... They would continue and do the last two, prepare the Hatova of the last two Neiros, and after they've done the Hatova of all seven Neiros, then they would do the Keteres. The Chachomim say no. The Chachomim say that after doing the preparing five of the Neiros, Hatova Saneiros on five of the Neiros, they would then, in the break, they would do the Keteres, and then they would do the Hatova of the last two Neiros. Sabaya is saying that the Mishnah, which is in Daf Yudalad Amud Aleph, in our Mishnah, where it says that you do the Keteres before that Tovas HaNeiros, that's talking about that Tovas HaNeiros of the last two. The last two candles would be prepared after Keteres. The Mishnah on Daf Chofei Amud Aleph would be talking about the first five Neiros, which indeed are done before the Keteres. And we'll soon see, the Papa is not going to like that. Why is the Mishnah first telling us about the last two and then talking about the first five? Which is why Rav Papa is going to argue with Abaya. But for now, let's try and discuss Abaya. So that's how Abaya answered this seeming contradiction. So that's what Abaya said. Omar Abaya, Lo Kashya Kan Batovas Shtei Neiris. The last two candles were prepared after the Keteres. Kan Batovas Chomesh Neiris. But the five Neiris were prepared before the Keteres. Says the Gemara Lememra. So are you suggesting, and as Abaya, that Abaya holds, the Bekteres Mafsikalehu, that what they did in the break between Atovas 5 Neiris and Atovas 2 Neiris was the Kteres. V'Abaya Masadir Marocha Meshmeidu Gemara. Abaya would arrange the order of the Korban Tomid and in the name of the Gemara, in the name of the tradition, in the name of the Gemara, and he would say as follows, Ubedam HaTomid Mafsikalehu. He would say that between doing Atovas of the 5 Neiris and the 2 Neiris, they would actually do the Dam HaTomid, the Korban Tomid. They would do the Shechitas HaTomid and the Zrikas HaDam of the Tomid, and not the Keteres. Omra Loi Kashya. They said it's not a contradiction. Hahila Abba Shaul. Indeed, it's a machloikas Abba Shaul and the Chachomim, as we said before. And according to Abba Shaul, that's how Abaya arranged the Seder Ma'arocha Mishmei de Gemara, according to Abba Shaul. However, the Mishnah is here that we're trying to make sure there's no contradiction between the Mishnah on Yomadaf Yudalad and the Mishnah on Yomadaf Chofei. That will be the according to the Rabbonon. And the Rabbonon, they actually did the Keteres between the Hatovas of the 5 Neiros and the Hatovah of the 2 Neiros. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Lo yitaves haNeiros v'charkach yaktir. Don't finish doing the Hatovah of all the Neiros and only then do the Keteres. Elo yaktir v'charkach yitav. You should make sure to do the Keteres in the break between the Hatovah of the 5 Neiros and the Hatovah of the 2 Neiros. You should do the Keteres before you finish doing the Hatov of all the Neiris. That's the Chachomim, Abba Shaul Oymir. Abba Shaul says, no. Meitiv, you do the Hatova, you prepare all 7 candles, you do make a break between the 5 and the 2. You do the Korban Tomid then, but only when you've finished doing Hatov of all 7 Neiris, v'charkach maktir, and only then you do the Keteres. My Tamid Abba Shaul, what would be the source for Abba Shaul that you do the Keteres only after finishing to prepare all the candles? Dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Baboiker, Baboiker, in the morning, Behetivo Yesaneris, after you've finished preparing all the candles of the menorah, and then Yaktireno. That's what it says in the Pasuk, Baboiker, Baboiker, Behetivo Yesaneris, Yaktireno. The order says, first finish doing that Tov of all the Neiros, only then do the Keteres. V'Rabbonon, the Rabbonon say no. The way you have to read it is as follows. Ma'ik Omar Achmono, what is the Torah saying? That Baboiker, Baboiker, Baheitivai, whilst you're finishing off doing the last Hatova, which is the last 2 candles, Tehei Miktar Keteres, Yaktireno, the Keteres should already be burning. Which means that you did the Keteres before you did the last part of the Hatova Saneris, Di'iloi Teimahochi. Because if you wouldn't learn like that, if you wouldn't understand Baboiker, Baboiker, Beitivo Yesaneris, Yaktireno means whilst you're finishing the Hatova, the Keteres should already be burning, we're going to have an issue with Beinu Arbaim within the evening. Because what? Because we know that they did Keteres also in the morning, also in the afternoon. Beinu Arbaim. What does it say, Beinu Arbaim? It says there, Uvahalois Aroin Esaneirois, Beinu Arbaim. When Aaron HaKohen would light the menorah in the afternoon, Yaktireno Keteres Tomid Lifnei Hashem Adoro Seichem, then one should do the Keteres is being burnt on the Mizbeach inside, the small Mizbeach inside. So Hochanami, the Bereisha Madlik Neirois, V'hodor Makter Keteres Shel Beinu Arbaim. So here we have an issue. The Chachom was saying to Abba Shaul, that you, Abba Shaul, how did you read the Pasuk regarding the morning? Baboike, Baboike, Beitiva Esaneris, first finish doing the whole Hatova Saneris. And then Yaktireno, what are you going to read here? The Bahalu Saron Esaneris Beinu Arbaim, that first do the Menorah. And after you've lit the Menorah, Yaktireno, Keteres, Tomid Lifnei Hashem, Dereseichem, you should do the Keteres. That can't be. Everybody agrees that you cannot do the avoid of the Keteres after lighting the candles in the evening. So how do you have to read the Pasuk regarding the evening? That when Aaron HaKohen is lighting the candles in the afternoon, Yaktireno, then the Keteres should already be burning because you did the Keteres before lighting the candles. Since you have to learn the Pasuk like that over here, you can learn the Pasuk in the morning the same way that Baboike, Baboike, Beitivei Saneris, when you're finishing the Hatova Saneris, Yaktireno, the Keteres should have already been put on the Mizbeach before that. That's how the Rabbonon are refuting or are arguing with Abba Shaul. V'chi teima hochanami. Are you going to suggest no? Maybe it's true. In the same way as Abba Shaul learned the Pasuk in the morning, first finish Hatovas Aneiris and then do Kteiris, maybe he'll learn, first do the Hadlokas Aneiris in the afternoon, and then to put the Kteiris on the Mizbeach. That cannot be. Votani, we learned in a Braisa, Me'erev Ad Boike. Because there's another Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Bo'el moed michutz laporeches asha'alo idos yarechis yare novonov me'erev ad boiker, that the candles, the menorah, should be lit me'erev ad boiker. It'd be lit from the evening and stay alight until the morning. What does it mean me'erev ad boiker? The Braisa says, ten lombidoso, put the measure of oil enough shetehidu ileches v'ileches kol alayla, that it should be able to be lit the whole night me'erev ad boiker. Dova acher, and also besides with that, me'erev ad boiker, ein lecho avoido shekshero me'erev ad boiker, elozu bilvad. When it says, the yarich oise arin uvon of me'erev ad boiker, means this is the last avoida to be done in the erev, and nothing else is going to be done until the boiker. This is what's going to carry that, so to speak, be done from the night till the morning. Elozu bilvad. There is no avoida that can be done after Hadlokas Aneiris. So then we have an issue. How there's no way of saying that you can actually do the Ktoires after Hadlokas Aneiris, because nothing, no avoid is done after that Hadlokas Aneiris. And therefore, even Abba Shaul would have to agree that the Pasuk that says Uvahalu Isaronis Aneiris Beinu Arbaim Yaktireno Ktoires Tomid Lifnei Hashem L'Doreseichem must be that whilst Aaron HaKohen is lighting, whilst the Kohen is lighting the menorah, then the Ktoiris has already been done before that. And that's how the Chachomim are learning the Pasuk in the morning, that when you finish doing that Tova, the Ktoiris should already be done. Elomai ka'omar rachmona, bi'idon adloka. How do you have to learn the Pasuk here in the evening, that whilst you're lighting the menorah, tehei miktar Ktoiris, the Ktoiris should already be lit. Hochanami says the Chachomim, bi'idon atova, whilst you're finishing the Tova Saneris in the morning, tehei miktar Ktoiris, the Ktoiris should already be lit. The Abba Shaul Omer Lecho, Abba Shaul will say no. Shani Hosom Dichsiv Oisoi. He says, in the morning, I'm not changing from what I said. The Pasuk says, Baboike, Baboike, Betiva is Aneiris, that you should first finish doing all that Tavas Aneiris and only then Yak Tirenom. In the evening, I agree with you that you do the Ktoiris before you do the Adlokas Aneiris. But over there, is the reason is because I have a special Pasuk. The Pasuk says Oisoi, that it says Yarich Oisoi Aroin, and from the word Oisoi we learn that the only thing that gets done and the last thing that gets done at the end of the Avodah is the Menorah. So from that word Oisoi, I know that I have to do the Ktoiris before the Adlokas Aneiris. But that's Gzeris HaKosov over there in the evening. In the morning where there's no Gzeris HaKosov, I'm reading the Pasuk in the right order. But Tivoy Saneris, Yak Tireno, you do the Ktoiris after you've done the Hatova of all seven Neiris. What do you do between the Hatova of the five Neiris and the Hatova of the two Neiris, the Korban Tomid, not the Ktoiris? That was how Abaya explained the contradiction between the Mishnah on Daf Beis, the Mishnah Sar on Daf Yudalid, and the Mishnah on Daf Chof Hei in Yuma. We had the contradiction, is Ktoiris before Hatova Saneris or after? The answer is, it's following, both Mishnayos are following the Chachomim. The first Mishnah is talking about the last two candles, those are done, the Tova is done after the Ktoiris, and the Mishnah on Daf Chof Hei is talking about the first five, and they are done before the Ktoiris. Rav Papa Omar, Rav Papa's got a different way of resolving this. Loi Kashya, Ho Rabbonon, Ho Abba Shaul. The first Mishnah is indeed the Rabbonon. And when the first Mishnah says you do first the Ktoiris and then the Hatova Saneiris is the Chachomim, that you do the Hatova of the last two Neiris after Ktoiris, and as far as this Mishnah is concerned, it's the same as Abaye learnt. Ha Abba Shaul, the Mishnah on Daf Chof Hei, which says that first they would do the lot on the Dishon HaMenorah on the Hatova Saneiris and only afterwards the Ktoiris, that's following Abba Shaul. As we just saw, Abba Shaul holds that first you do Hatova Saneiris of all seven, and then you do the Ktoiris. Says the Gemara, B'mayu kimtu l'maslisin d'hocha. So our Mishnah, you're saying, is k'rabonon. The Mishnah Daf Yudalad Omud Aleph is following the Rabbonon, that this part of the Hatova Saneiris is done after the Ktoiris. Pious, The Mishnah Daf Chof Hei, which is talking about the lots that they did, is talking about Abba Shol, that they first did that Tovas Aneiros of all seven candles, and only afterwards they did the Keteiros. Eima Sefer, let's move to a Mishnah on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. What does it say in that Mishnah? Heviu Uloyes Atomid, they would bring to the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. The Mishnah on Daf Chof Hei and the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Aleph are actually talking explicitly about Yom Kippur. The Seder of the Avodah from Perek Beis and Perek Gimel, Daf Chof Hei is in Perek Beis, Daf Lamed Aleph is Paragimel. Paragimel is actually talking about the Avodah of Yom Kippur. The Mishnah Ba'as on Daf Yudalid was not talking about Yom Kippur. It's talking about what the Kohen Gadol would do on the 7 days before Yom Kippur, which is referring to the Avodah of the whole year. But let's move now to the Sefer. Daf Lamed Aleph, what does it say there? Hevi Uloi, they would bring to the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, they would bring him as Atomid, the Korban Tomid. Korotsoi, he would cut the minimum he has to cut for the Shechita to be kosher. And since the Kohen Gadol had to do all the avoidance on Yom Kippur, Umorak Acher Shechita al Yodoi, and then somebody else would finish off the Shechita, and the Kohen, because the Kohen Gadol would have to receive the blood. Nichnas Lehakdir es HaTukteres. The Kohen Gadol would then go and put the Keteiros would and be burn the Keteiros. Ulehetiv es Aneiros, and he would do the, after the Keteiros, he would do Atovas Aneiros. So you see, the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Aleph reverts back to the opinion that says that Hatovas Haneiros was after the Keteiros. Also, that must be also in the Rabbonon, must following the Rabbonon, who says that after you did the Keteiros, you did that Tov of the last two Neiros. Does that make sense? Reisha, V'Seifa, the Mishnah on Daf Yudalad, our Mishnah, and the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Aleph are the Rabbonon. Umetziosa, and the Mishnah in the middle on Daf Chofei is Abba Shol. Omer Lachor of Popper, if Popper will explain, will say no problem in, yes. Reisha V'Seifa Rabbonon, Metzias Abba Shol. What's the problem with that? When you have Mishnayos, some Mishnayos follow one opinion, some Mishnayos follow another opinion. Now the Gemara continues. Bishlei Melab Abaya, I can understand why Abaya Loi Omer of Popper. Why did Abaya choose to say that all the Rabbonon, one, the first Mishnah is talking about the last two candles and the second Mishnah is talking about the first five? And then obviously the third Mishnah will be talking about the last two candles. That's, he didn't want to learn like Rav Papa, because Reisha V'Seifa Rabbonon U'Metziosa Abba Shol, and the middle Mishnah to be Abba Shol, Loi Moikim Lo. Abaya wasn't comfortable with that. That's not the way to set up Mishnayos. Elo Rav Papa Mai Tama Lo Amakra Abaya. What's the reason that Rav Papa said that the first Mishnah is Rabbonon, the second Mishnah is Abba Shol, the third Mishnah is again the Rabbonon? Why didn't he just learn like Abaya? It's all the Rabbonon, and it just depends which candles you're talking about. Omer Lachor of Pop will say, because Tana Bereisha Tovas Shtei Neiros V'Hoda Tovas Chamesh Neiros, because what did they do first? They first did the Hatova according to the Rabbonon, you did Hatova of the five Neiros. Then they did the Keteiros, and then they did the Hatova of the two Neiros. Why would our Mishnah, the first Mishnah, be speaking about the last two Neiros, and the second Mishnah would be referring to the first five Neiros? The order seems to be out of sequence. The Abaya Omer Lachor, Abaya says it's no problem. Oiruya Ba'alma Wudu Kamoira. V'sidra Ha Hodar Tonile. Says the first Mishnah is not talking about Yom Kippur. It's talking about just all the avodas that would be done that the Kohen Gadol should do. So the Mishnah was just teaching us the Kohen Gadol should do that Tovas Haneiros. The Mishnah chose to speak about the last two candles for whatever reason. But the Mishnah wasn't going out of its way to make sure the order was right. It's only from the second perek where we start the order of, and all the Mishnayos are almost a single Mishnah of a single sequence of the Yom Kippur Avodah. From perek base, everything is exactly the way it's supposed to be. So the Mishnah on Daf Chof Hei is talking about the Hatova of the first five Neiros, and the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Aleph is talking about the Hatova of the second two Neiros, and it's all in order. V'sidra ha'hoda tonile. After the first Mishnah, after the first Perek, when it comes to the second Perek, the Seder, the order, is all in order and everything is okay. And therefore, Abaya was not concerned about the reservation of Papa had against him about the order of the Mishnayos. And Emir Tz Hashem, in the next Shir, we're going to continue from here.